Great stuff. Well, I'm hoping that we're all here because the name of these meetings that we're having, Deeper, symbolises and signifies for us exactly what Pastor Chris was just saying then, that at the start of this year, whatever it might mean for each of us differently, that we want to go deeper into the things of God and we want God to go deeper into our lives. Can we take it as read that that's what we're about tonight? That's why we're here. And that may mean something different for each of us. I know exactly what I'm praying for and what the significance of that word deeper for me means. And there's a yearning there that that can only be met by God. And I hope you're at that place as well. And tonight, to help us achieve that sense of being deep with God and Him being deep in us, we're going to give you the opportunity to be anointed by oil. But I want to talk very quickly about anointing and about just the difference between a revelation of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God to be more precise, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, just so we know what's happening. Pentecostals, when we hear that word anointing, lots of different things go through our mind. And perhaps some of us have heard that word for years and years and we're still not quite sure exactly what it means. And so we want to make sure that it sinks deep into us tonight what actually we're going to be about a little bit later on, what we're about and what we're not about as well, so nobody gets confused. And we might hear this word anointing, we might think of the great big TV preacher and we say they've got a great anointing on their life for preaching. Or we might think of a worship leader and we think they've got a fantastic anointing on their life to lead worship. And all of those things would be true, but that's not the full picture of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's more of an Old Testament revelation of the Spirit of God. If you read the Old Testament, you see that the Spirit of God had a tendency to come into people's lives at specific times for specific occasions, mostly for an empowering to speak or to sing or to lead. And then the Spirit would perhaps almost lie dormant until crisis occasions arose. And then I'm reluctant even to say He would reveal Himself, because in the Old Testament, it really wasn't even signified as a person that much. It was just a force, a spirit, a power. And there were occasions, if you know your Old Testament history, you know that sometimes the Holy Spirit was removed permanently from people. So Samson and Saul, good examples where God chose to take His Spirit away. And it was this whole tendency that the Spirit of God would come on the special people now and again for special things. And one of the dangers of being in Pentecostalism is we might unconsciously fall in that trap. So if you're here tonight thinking that the Spirit of God is just for the worship leader or the speaker, or only occasionally does He reveal Himself when Pastor Chris gets really good, then you've missed... you've missed that point completely. And I just want to say, if you're sitting here tonight thinking that anointing and a move of the Spirit is just for the special people, is just now and again, you've really missed the point. I don't think you do think like that, because you wouldn't be here otherwise, but I just wanted to establish that. See, it says, if you want to turn into 2 Corinthians with me, just for 2 or 3 verses, then to chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. Where are we? I'll just read verse 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians 1. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. Listen to this. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. See, the New Testament Pentecost confirms to us that the Holy Spirit, third person, the Trinity, He is for all people, in all places, at all times. And if you're a believer, you've walked into this building tonight with the Spirit of the living God in you. Now, that's not to say that the Spirit doesn't want to have more of your life, doesn't want to manifest Himself in a greater and more powerful way. that you shouldn't submit and say, Lord, I know there are areas of life that you're not, that I've not let you into. There are struggles and concerns in my life that aren't spirit empowered, that I'm not living in the spirit in. So will you touch me in those places? But this isn't about receiving the Spirit of God tonight, going out, losing him, and then I'm going to come back next week again. That's not the deal. But it is about a deeper encounter. It is perhaps about a breakthrough encounter. It is perhaps about a surrendering encounter with stuff that you've been fighting and holding on. Pastor Steve's talked a couple of times recently about putting things away, forgetting things, surrendering things from the previous year in order to step into a new year. So tonight might be about that as well. For some of you who really aren't certain that the Spirit of the living God is actually moving in you, tonight might be that breakthrough filling of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, where for the first time in your life you're going to feel a real and tangible presence of the power of God. See, that word anointing, it's a symbolic word, and it's also a real word. Part of the symbolism is about commissioning. So tonight, in a very real sense, we're saying at the start of 2009, Lord, we want to be commissioned again by you for this year. We're saying, Lord, we need your strength, we need your presence, we need your power. We're not going to get through this year without you. And that's why when Pastor Chris talks about some specific things like your job or your family, your career, your health, your hopes, whatever it might be, don't be afraid tonight to be very specific before God to say, Lord, would you commission me in that area? Would you recommission me? Would you re-strengthen me so that I can be going deeper and more powerfully into those things than I've ever done before, because I'm going to be certain that you're going to be with me. So the right emphasis of our prayer tonight isn't that suddenly the Holy Spirit is going to become available to us in those areas. It's exactly the opposite. It's that we're saying, Lord, we're surrendering to you. We're becoming available to you in a way perhaps that we haven't done before, or in a deeper way than we have before. Perhaps we've just realized that we're going into uncharted waters in these coming weeks and months, and we need to have confidence to surrender that to God. So we want a deeper experience, but we come in the confidence that God has already put his Holy Spirit in our hearts as a deposit. Paul says here, guaranteeing what is to come. So perhaps tonight, for some of us, it's just a little bit more of a taste of what's still to come. We're getting closer to that fullness, of that fulfillment, of that completion in Christ. So tonight it's about saying, Lord, you're in me already, but will you pour yourself lavishly into my life? Will you overflow generously into those areas where I need you? Will you teach me what it means to be surrendered, to be commissioned, to be anointed? It's about saying, I'm not going to settle, Lord, actually, for those occasional instances in this church when I'm here where I feel your tangible presence. I'm not going to settle even for a week by week experience of you in that place of power and intimacy. I want that to be daily. I want that to be hourly. I don't want the supernatural. I wrote a phrase down here. It must be from God. I don't want the supernatural to be occasional. I want the supernatural to be normal. I don't want the occasional burst of God's supernatural power now and again. I want to be at a place where I see that all the time. And that's only going to be a place of surrender. That's only going to be a place of recommissioning. That's only going to be a place of humbly asking God to anoint me, so I'm ready to receive I'm ready to go deeper. And you know, when you surrender, this is the last thing I'm going to say, and then Pastor Chris will just give us some wisdom about how we're actually going to do this. You know, when you're making yourself available to God, when you're surrendering to the Holy Spirit, when you're saying, Lord, will you live in me even more powerfully than you live in me now? Then we get to that place with the Holy Spirit that John calls when he says that the Holy Spirit is the paraclete, the guide, the counselor, if you like modern day terms, the mentor, the life coach. But the difference is, you might book a meeting with your fitness coach, with your life coach, for 1 hour a week. You might call up your mentor on the phone for a couple of conversations. But when you're really surrendering to the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, I want more of this, then the Holy Spirit is tangibly with you all the time. Everywhere you go, you've got that life coach, that guide, that comforter living in you and whispering in your ear. And so you have a confidence in Christ because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You have an authority to speak and to minister into other people's lives and into situations that you find yourself in. Why? Because you know that the Holy Spirit is with you and you can hear him. You're much less likely to go to places that you shouldn't go to do things that you shouldn't do, to say things that you shouldn't say. Why? Because you don't want to offend the Holy Spirit. Because he's your counselor, he's your guide, he's your friend, he's your mentor, he's your life coach, he's the paraclete, he's that intimately connected with you that you love him so much and you're aware of him so much that it would be like offending a loved one. The last thing that you would want to do. So that's what we're about tonight. We're about commissioning, we're about anointing. It's symbolic because in the Bible they would use oil as symbolism of a move of the Spirit on somebody, commissioning of somebody. But it's real as well. It's real as well. We are expecting that God will move by his Holy Spirit. We're expecting that God will increase his Spirit in you. That there will be something that will overflow and bubble up from inside. The Spirit of God moves, and we're expecting that the Spirit of God will fall even more powerfully in this place. And the great thing is that when we come together corporately for this, there's a power there. As God presences himself, but there's also a personal dedication going on between you and the Lord. So I'm just going to finish now, and perhaps before Chris says anything, I just want you to spend a minute or two in the stillness and the silence. And let's do it in stillness and silence. We're not always good at that, are we? But let's do that. Have confidence in the Spirit living in you. Have confidence that he's prompting you right now as to what this anointing for you is going to mean. What is it that you want to be commissioned for? What relationship is it? What place is it? What challenge is it? What area of need or hurt or concern in your life do you need a touch of the Holy Spirit right now? Have confidence that the still, small voice of God inside you is going to be speaking words right to you now to tell you what those things are going to be. Have confidence that the Spirit isn't going to move on you tonight occasionally and then depart from you, but he's going to take you to a new and a deeper permanent level of intimacy with him in 2009. My prayer is it's going to be a place of deepness and intimacy the likes of which we've never seen before.